Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Amen, amen. Boy, Damon ain't kidding, though. My mother-in-law was shocked, I believe. Amen. Thank God today. I don't want to get this wrong. I think next month, me and her has been married for 15 years? 14, 15? Something like that. And I thank God for all those because I'll be honest, I wouldn't have made it through one of them myself, but it's somewhere in the teens. I know that anyway, so thank God for that. I've been studying this week, and really for the past month, I've had this message on my mind. And as we're building up to Easter right now, this is it kind of goes along with that, but there's something else that I found this week, and man, it just brought back a lot of memories. So if you will, we're going to be there. But anyway, we'll be in the book of Mark in chapter 14. Book of Mark in chapter 14. We're going to read the beginning verses there. Book of Mark in chapter 14. The Bible reads like this. It says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priest and the scribes sought on how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. We know that's about a year's wages. He said, and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do good to them. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body for bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also, what she hath done, will be spoken of as a memorial for her. If you will, bow your heads. Our most kind and gracious Father in heaven, Lord, God, we come before you today, and God, we just want to thank you for this service. God, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we just ask and pray, God, that you will open up our hearts and minds this evening, Lord, to let us absorb what you have for us and grow from it, Lord. Give the increase in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Amen. I'll be honest with you guys. I still struggle with this. I told Tracy the other day, we was at prayer, and I told Tracy whenever we was leaving prayer, I said, if I don't have to shower when I leave church, I probably didn't have a real good time at church. I like to be wore out when I leave church. I like to be sweaty, my eyes all puffed up from crying too much, and man, I tell you, I guess it has a lot to do with where Jesus brought me from. Amen. I think that when we realize that, when we get a hold of what Jesus did, and it don't matter where you was at, but if you realize the fact that Jesus died for you because he loved you that much, man, I can't help it. I still get excited about being in the house of God and, man, just being able to come up here and preach. I thank God for it. But in this story, we find this in all four Gospels. It's told a little bit different, but I like the way Mark words this here. We find Mary, the sister of Lazarus, and she comes in to anoint Jesus. And the Bible tells us that she brought in some very expensive bit of ointment that she was going to anoint him with. And when she gets in there, something happens. Now, I don't know what took place prior to that, but when she got in there, something happened. And the next thing you know, the bottles broke, the ointment's everywhere, and the fragrance has now, as the Bible said in the book of Matthew, it says that the fragrance filled the entire place. After she got inside there, boy, something took place. But it says here in this, it says that she that the alabaster box that she had was very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. Now, I've been in some wild church services, and I've seen some stuff. We had people walking around pouring oil on people before, and I've seen them pour water on people and everything, and all that's fine and good, I guess. But the other day, I was gave this by somebody a long time ago, and it was a bottle of anointing oil, and you may have seen this. It's got a little ball on top, and that ball is it's like a ballpoint pen. You can roll this thing. You get just enough oil out. That way you won't hear somebody complain you put too much oil on them, or you got their shirt oily or anything like that. And it's used for that. You can mark it up somebody's head or across a rag or whatever it is that you're going to be anointing. But somebody had gave me that years ago, and I've always had this. And, man, I got it out the other day, and I started looking at that, and, man, it smells good. And I got it out, and I anointed the kids. I rubbed it across their head, and they said, "What is that?" And I said, "That's holy oil, girls." And I was just playing around with them on it. But then they began to smell it, and they said, "Man, that smells good. What is that?" I don't know. Lavender or something. But, man, it does smell good. But I was thinking about, but whenever Mary got in the house, the Bible says that she broke that bottle. Now, I was thinking about how it is that every time that I come into the house of God, I don't know about you, but, man, God finds new ways to break me down of where it is that I'm at. And what I mean by that is that there are some times that I come in really puffed up. There are some times that I'll come in a little confident. There's some times that I come in because my whole world's falling apart, but every time that I come in the house of God, what I have found is this, that when I'm broken, that's when I'm made strong in the house of God. Amen? That it works counterintuitive of everything in the world. You would think that when you're broke, you're weak, but with God, when you're broke, you are strong. Amen? Now, it makes no sense to me whatsoever, but man, God does something to me when I get in his house. And man, tonight, it just, the spirit was so sweet, and I was just thinking about everything that he's done for me, and boy, I began to break down and start looking back at God. Where have you brought me from? It still amazes me, and I can't help it. Man, I get a little broke down when I'm in church, when I'm in the presence of God. Bible says this, or the dictionary says this. It says to be broken means to be violently separated or shattered. It means to be damaged or altered, irregular, interrupted, and full of obstacles. I know some of you are definitely irregular. It means to be made weak or disconnected. But you know what? That is where Jesus finds the beauty of brokenness, is in those people that are broke down like that. Amen? You see, there is beauty in being broke. We just don't realize it. So we look at it in a completely different way. But the world says that the broke things need to be thrown away. But Jesus gets the broke things and he makes them brand new again. He doesn't just fix them, he repairs them and makes them better than what they were before they ever broke. It's funny, we look at things, and I don't know if you've ever known people like this. I know people that has been through marriages, and because their marriage is broke, their idea is, let's throw it away and get a new one. whenever their friendship gets broke, it's, oh, well, that friend's gone. Let's throw it away and get a new one. Whenever something in their life is broke, it's not worth trying to fix it, so they'll just throw it away and get a new one. But Jesus is the one that says, don't throw it away. Allow me to fix what's broken. You see, the Bible says that he was the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. He wasn't just the one that would come in and say, you know what? These people aren't no good. Let me just throw them away. I'll get me a new people that'll serve me the way they should. But no, he looks at it and says, they're broke. Let me fix them and put them back together and give them something new again. Well, the world views it that way. The world may view marriages, relationship, addicts, thieves. No matter where you come from, if you're broken, we don't want you no more. But if you're broken, Jesus said, come unto me. Amen. He wants all those that are broke. What the world rejects, God will definitely use. But the book of Psalms tells us that the Lord is nigh to them that be of what? A broken heart. Well, there's time that I've come into this house and I've been brokenhearted. For whatever reason, something going on in my life or around me, and it's when I'm brokenhearted that I feel the hand of God that lifts me up and holds me. The Bible says not only does he lift us up, the Bible also says that he binds up those that are wounded. Amen. He don't throw them away. You see, the Bible even tells us that he's the potter and that we're the clay. In Jeremiah, he says, I watched the potter rot a work on the wheel, and when it become marred, when it was broke, when it was no longer good, he didn't just throw it away. He began to make it and form it again into what he wanted it to be. And I don't know about you, but man, I've been spinning on that wheel for a long time. And man, he has made me over and over again. And I'm so thankful about that. That just because I'm broke, he don't throw it away. But there's something about reaching a breaking point that'll cause you to seek God differently. I have been at a place, man, where, and I don't want to go back there, and I've told y'all this, but I was at a place where I was so broke that when I come to God, I learn more in that broken spirit that I come in than I ever have in the years before that. I don't want to go back there, but boy, I still look back at the times that I was broke and that feeling that God said, I've got this, I'll hold this together, it won't fall apart. There is something about being broke in the presence of God that you can't get anywhere else in this world. You can't get it through a message. You can't get it through a song. But boy, when the word of God begins to speak to you in your lowest state that you find yourself in, being broke is a beautiful thing sometimes because God speaks to those that are broke. There's beauty in being broke. Boy, I was thinking about this. So Mary come to Jesus, had her oil all contained up. I don't know what her intention was that day. Bible don't tell us that. But I believe she come in there in a very directed manner. I believe she come in there that day and she said, I'm going to come in. I'm going to anoint Jesus because I'm so happy of what he has done. She bought very expensive ointment. She went out there. She had a nice jar she put it in. I believe she walked in that room controlled. I believe she come in that room in a direct mission to find Jesus. Amen. Now think about it. This was a few weeks after the raising of Lazarus from the dead. They're all sitting around a table. Who knows? They're talking about everything going on around them. I believe she went in there to anoint him, but when she got in the presence of Jesus, she could not contain what was in her, and it began to break out and spill over into everything else in that room. You see, what I have found is that when I've come in the presence of Jesus, I may come in here thinking, all right, I'm not going to woo. I'm not going to run.
I'm not going to jump. I'm not going to shout because I know it looks goofy and I really don't care. But I'm saying to myself, I'm not going to do those things today. But when I get in the presence of Jesus, I may come in here directed. I may come in here controlled. But when I'm in his presence, something breaks open in me and lets forth what's in there. You know what I like about being a broke vessel, though? When she come in there with that oil, she may have said, this is for Jesus and Jesus only. I'm going to anoint his head, and that's it. Put a little smear on him. I'm going to walk out. But a broken vessel don't know where the oil's going to go. A broken vessel don't know who's going to get touched by it. A broken vessel don't care about who's watching, what's going on in the room. You think all those people in there when she walked in, you think they all had their nose stuck up in the air? And when she walks in there, all the religious folk, they're all sitting in there. There comes this woman, the book of Luke says, a very sinful woman walked in that room. But she walked in there and they're all sitting around. And yet she comes in there with a thing of oil, busts it open, and begins to pour it over the head of Jesus. A broken vessel don't care who's watching. They don't care who's around. They don't care what people think. Broken vessel don't care who's preaching. They don't care who's saying. I know people that only praise the Lord if certain people preach or certain people sing. They're my favorite. That's the ones I'll praise to. Let me tell you, if you're a broke vessel, you don't care where that oil's going. It's spilling out no matter where you're at. Amen. Broken vessel don't care to look goofy either. Everybody else may have looked to her and thought, she's wasting the oil. She's pouring it out. She's over there using her hair to dry it up. But when she was broke, she didn't care who was watching her. And I'm telling you right now, if you want something from Jesus tonight, you have got to break everything that you thought. You got to get a little undignified. You may get a little sweat bead going. You may cry. The makeup may run. You may do all kinds of goofy stuff. But you know what? If you want something from Jesus, then you have to break down and seek him with everything you got. Because she sought him, he gave her something. Contained vessels directed in one area and it pours out only what's needed. Boy, when it's a broke vessel, it pours out abundance, doesn't it? You know how I know that? Because I've seen it in this church. I've seen people get happy over here. And I've seen it spill over to this side. And I've seen somebody get happy over here and spill over to that side. When it's broken open, it just goes everywhere. Mary met Jesus that day as a broken worshiper. You know what? She held nothing back. I think that the worst thing about coming to church sometimes with people, and Wednesdays are particularly rough, is that we've had a rough week. It's midweek. We still got a couple more days to Friday, and we come in here, and we're not ready to just let it all down and let it all out. But you see, when Mary met Jesus this day, she met him as a broken worshiper. And because she held nothing back, she didn't care who was there. She didn't care what anything was going on in that room. You know what she did? She emptied herself out to the master. If we want something from him, then I believe we have to empty ourselves out to Jesus. The problem is that he can't put in if there's nowhere to put in at. We have to empty out in order to be filled up. You see, a full Jesus is only for an empty sinner. Amen? We got to be emptied and let Jesus be put in our life. But you know, when I'm in the house of God, when you're in here and we start thinking about what he's done, I believe Mary got in the presence of Jesus and began to think about what all that he had done. And she must have thought, if you only knew where I come from, if you only knew where I'd been, if you only knew what I'd been through, then you would understand why I have to empty myself out in the presence of God. You know what we got to do? We got to empty ourselves out when we get in the presence of God. That means we got to empty out our own pride. We have to empty out our own notions. There are sometimes I'll come into church and I'll think things are going to go this way or that way, and they don't go that way. There are times that I think that my life is going to go ABC and it ends up going ZXY. There are times that I think for sure, God, I know what the plan is. I know what you got for me here. And God wrecks every bit of it. He breaks it down. But it's in those times that I have found that being broke in the presence of Jesus is a beautiful thing. Because when I am broke, then I can be made whole. It was because she was broke that Jesus done something special for her. Not only a little bit. The Bible says that anywhere that this word is preached, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of a memorial for her. Some 2,000 years later, and yet we're still talking about the lady that come in there, broke her vessel, spilled her oil, and anointed Jesus. Why? Because she poured out everything that she had. In 2 Samuel, we find a story about David. David goes to buy a threshing floor. And the Bible tells us that David, when he gets down there to buy the threshing floor, the man who owns it says, "You're the king. You're not buying nothing. We'll give it to you because you're the king, so I want to give you this and you can use it for whatever you want." But David says, No. I will not sacrifice anything to God that didn't cost me nothing. If it didn't cost me nothing, it's not a sacrifice. So David buys this place, and this place is set up, and we find later on that Solomon goes and he builds the temple on this threshing floor. And the temple's built there, the ark's there, all kinds of stuff happened here. And what's funny about it is that what it originally was a place that the grain was beat. It was beat and it was separated. Right there on the threshing floor, they would thresh it, so they would have to separate the grain, the seeds, the bad part, and they would beat it down right there. And yet God seen that place, and he said, "That's exactly where I want you to make a place of worship, is the place where the breaking has happened, is the place that I want the worship to happen. You may have been broke here at one time, but now you're going to worship in the same place that you was broke." That the only place that makes sense is in the house of God. That I have been coming in here broke before, and yet I'm standing in the same place worshiping God over what he has done. That only happens when you go from a broke place. Listen, when Jesus fed the 5,000, the Bible says that he got the bread, he break the bread, he prayed, then he broke the bread, right? And then he began to pass it out to everybody else that was there. When Jesus broke the bread multiplied. But until the bread was broke, it never grew. It never done anything good with it. All it was a piece of broke bread. But because he broke it, he was able to multiply it. And just because you are broke doesn't mean God's done with you. It's because God is now going to multiply what has been broke in your life. Everything in my life that God has broke, he has restored tenfold. And he has gave me more than I could ever ask, and he has distributed out what he has put in me. It was broke to be multiplied. Sometimes we got to be broke. That just that little bottle of oil. I love this story. This little bottle of oil that she had didn't have much to offer, but this little bottle of oil, and yet she changed history. Why that story was recorded in here, I'll never understand. Why that one, I don't know. Other than the fact that Jesus said everywhere that this story is told, this you're gonna know about this woman that come in here. But because she broke it, because she held nothing back from Jesus, I think that in order for me and you to get something, we have to determine that we're not gonna hold nothing back from Jesus. That means that we gotta allow ourselves to be broke. One of the hardest things that I've found to do for me at one time, and now I don't, I cry like a baby, so feel like. But when I first started coming here, I was really embarrassed about that. I said, Lord, I don't want to cry in front of people. I don't want people to see tears running down my face. But it's because we get broke, because we hold nothing back, because God sees that is why he blesses and why he multiplies and why he makes a place of worship in a broken place. I believe that if we need something this evening, that we have to break everything down in our lives that we are holding back from him, and we got to break it down to hold nothing back from him. If you want something in your life to change, then today's the day to do it, but we got to tear it down, break it down, and let Jesus get in there and fix it. When it talks about these strongholds, the Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. The pulling down of strong. If we want those things broke, we've got to give them to Jesus. But if we hide them and hold them back, we will never be able to conquer those things. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, one final thing here. I don't know how this woman smelled when she walked in that room. Right? I don't know how she smelled. I don't know what their rituals was back then. But what I do know is this. When she left that room, she smelled like Jesus smelled. Whatever smell he had on him, woo, she had on her. You see, when you get in the presence of Jesus, whatever he's got, you can't help but get as well. Amen. Thank God. She went in there dry. She left out of there wet. Amen. She went in there with no anointing on her. She walked out of there full of the anointing. Hey, thank God. When you come in the house of God, if you want something, then you got to come to him, and he will in no wise cast you out. But if we want something, we have to bring it to him. We got to bring it to him in a way that we realize that it's not about us. We got to break down what we think we know. You know, as they were singing that song just now, you can come back up here. But as they were singing that song, I was thinking, when Jesus would speak to these people, Bible says that he spoke to 5,000 and more at one time. We've got a sound system here with a lot of money invested in it. We got nice instruments up here. And we got a room of 100, 200 people. And we find it hard sometimes to listen during church. These people would come from miles just hoping that a word of Jesus would reach them, that the wind would just carry a word to them. No sound system, no megaphones, no microphone, no guitar, no piano. They didn't have none of that, but they would gather in because why? These people were so broke and they knew that they needed a change. And if you know you need a change, the only change you're going to have is found in Jesus. He loves those that are broke. He finds beauty in brokenness. If you are broke, you're in the right place. If you're financially broke, you're still in the right place. Amen. If you're spiritually broke, you're in the right place. If you're mentally broke, you're still in the right place. He loves the broken because he is nigh unto them that be of a broken heart. They would come from miles in order just to hear a word spoke to him. You know, a few months ago, We was in a place, and a couple of us went up, Shane, and but we got to be in the same room as the President of the United States, all right? Now, I say that, but, I mean, we're like one of 80,000, so, I mean, he didn't know who we were. But whenever he walked in that arena, you could feel it in your chest, not because of him, but because of the way people was acting. everyone was screaming and shouting and everything else. And I was thinking tonight as I sit up front, and man, the worship was so good, and I heard some shouting, and I felt some stomping running through the floor. And it reminded me of that, because I thought, the way people act over the President of the United States is one thing, but how do you act in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Boy, if we can't contain ourselves because Trump's in the room, how much more should we be able to worship that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? There'll be a day, the Bible says that every knee, that includes Trump, will have to bow to him. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There'll not be a one that'll be able to step back from him and say, I didn't know. I don't know who you are. People was going nuts because Trump was in the room. But you know what I love? I love when people go nuts because Jesus is in the room. Amen. Thank God. You get a bunch of broken people together. Lord, I don't have it all together, but I know one who does. Amen. I may not have the answer for you, but I know one who does. I may not have the healing right here in me, but I know one who has the healing in him. Amen. I don't have all the answers, but I know one who does. And no matter what you're going through in your life, I don't know what you're going through. It don't matter to me. When Jesus fed those 5,000, as he was, Bible says he took up the leftovers. And he said, gather them up that what? None be lost. Bible says that he gathered up 12 basketfuls of fragments. Fragments. Boy, I was a fragment at one time. Jesus found me as a fragment. But you know what he did? He said, gather him up that he won't be lost. We're not done with this yet. You may be a fragment right now. Things may be falling apart in your life. They may be falling apart in your marriage. They may be falling apart at your job. They may be falling apart for you in all manner of ways, your health, your sickness, whatever it may be. You may be falling apart, but Jesus gathers the ones that are broke, and he says that nothing is going to be lost under his watch. He loves the broken. There's beauty in it. If you will stand today. I don't know how you come in this room tonight. I don't know if you come in here broke, put together, smell good, smell bad. It don't matter. You can walk out of here smelling like Jesus. Whenever I leave this place, I want to know that I've been in the presence of him. I've got merch at the house. It says something, I don't know, Donald Trump 47 or something like that. And I wear that out and I'm proud of it. Oh, yeah, it's my president. What do we wear out about our king, though? You can't impeach him. You can't replace him. He'll be there forevermore. He was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first, the last. There'll be none. There's none before him. There'll be none after him. You can't vote him out because you didn't vote him in. Thank God today he's still the king. What do we do with that today? How do we approach that today? I'm going to tell you how you approach it. You approach it broken today. Lord, tear down what's there. Tear down what's broke right now. God, tear down the strongholds that the enemy has built. Lord, tear down these things in my life. Let me come to you broke that you may fix me. Let me come to you broke that you can build it up. That woman come there that day broke, but I believe she left pretty full. You can leave here tonight pretty full. Full of something that you've never been full of before. I've been full of a lot of things, but man, I tell you what, when I got full of Jesus, it was a well that never ran dry. It never runs out. As they sing today, if you need to pray, you can come pray. If you need anointed, you can come be anointed. If you need prayed for, whatever you need tonight. The point is this: if you need something, you won't find it sitting where you're sitting. You can come to Him. Amen. Come, call out to Jesus. You won't find it if you just sit there and be quiet. But if you call out to Him, He will answer you where you're at. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.